crossbones. Well, you're a jinx to my soul. Oh, baby, should be labeled with a skull and a crossbones, 'cause you're a jinx to my soul. Oh, yeah. Well, you're a menace to him, a fighter half in a prison, 'cause you act like a child driving everyone wild. You should be labeled with a skull and a crossbones. Well, you're a jinx to my soul. Oh, yeah, you should be labeled with a skull and a crossbones. Well, you're a jinx to my soul. A jinx to my soul. Well, you're a man is to win. A fighter half in the prison, 'cause you act like a child driving everyone wild. A big hexa means a crossbones, I said. A big hexa means a crossbones. My heart sighs, my heart moans, then it cries and then it groans. You should be labeled with a scar and a crossbones. Well, you're a jinx to my soul. Oh, yeah, you should be labeled with a scar and a crossbones. You're a jinx to my soul. Oh, yeah. Well, you're a man is to wear my fighter half in the prison, 'cause you look like a child driving everyone wild.
Are burnt and bleeding and all that looks like a monkey on a silver bar. Big poop hatch with a cotton hatch. Hatch holes that the light shows in and the light shows out. The little red fence. And the wire and the wood. And the barbs and the berries. The tires and the bottles and the car up on rims. And the heat swims on its fenders and the dust collects and the rust of autumn surrenders into gold. Trumpet poop on the ground with peanuts. Its bell was blocking an ant's vision. And a mice played in its air holes and valves. Why Why don't you go home? Oh, Blobby, are you great?
Welcome to High-Waisted Modernists with DJ Georgie Girl, the blue-haired hippie. Sit back, relax, unwind. Let the library music and spoken word ambiance wash all your cares away.
And why we've been brought here.
Ah, good evening. You are eagerly awaited.
Are you locking me in? I'll take the key.
Over my dead body, sir. May I take your bag?
No, I'll leave it here till I need it.
It contains evidence, I presume.
Suppose.
surprises, my friend. That's what it contains. Surprises.
You say you are used to being a hostess as part of your husband's work?
Yes, it's an integral part of your life when you are the wife of a... Oh, but then I forgot we're not supposed to say who we really are. Though, heavens to Betsy, I don't know why.
Don't you?
I know who you are.
Aren't you going to tell us?
How do you know who I am?
I work in Washington, too.
Washington? So you're a politician's wife?
Yes, I am.
Well, come on, then. Who's your husband?
So what does your husband do?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Well, he just lies around on his back all day.
Sounds like hard work to me.
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I'm a little bit accident prone.
Oh, watch it.
Thank you.
This is one of my favorite recipes.
I know, madam.
So, what do you do in Washington, D.C., Mr. Green? Come on, what do you do? I mean, how are we to get acquainted if we don't say anything about ourselves?
Perhaps he doesn't want to get acquainted with you.
Well, I'm sure I don't know, but if I wasn't trying to keep the conversation going, then we would just be sitting here in an embarrassed silence.
Are you afraid of silence, Mrs. Peacock?
Yes, but what? No, why?
No, it just seems to me that you are. You seem to suffer from what we call pressure of speech.
We? Who's we? Are you a shrink?
I do know a little bit about psychological medicine, yes.
Well, you're a doctor?
I am, but I don't practice.
But practice makes perfect. Huh. I think most men need a little practice, don't you, Mrs. Peacock? What do you do, Professor?
I work for, you know, the United Nations Organization.
Another politician, Jesus.
No, I work for a branch of, you know, WHO, the World Health Organization.
Well, what is your area of special concern?
Family planning. What about you, Colonel? Are you a real colonel?
I am, sir.
You're not going to mention the coincidence that you also live in Washington, D.C.?
How did you know that? Have we met before?
I've certainly seen you before, although you may not have seen me.
So, Miss Scarlet, does this mean that you live in Washington, too?
Sure do. But does anyone here not live in Washington, D.C.?
I don't.
Yes, but you work for the United Nations. It's a government job. And the rest of us all live in a government town. Anyone here not earn their living from the government one way or another?
And it might as well be me. I mean, I'm used to being a hostess. It's part of my husband's work, and it's always difficult when a group of new friends meet together for the first time to get acquainted. So I'm perfectly prepared to start the ball rolling. I mean, I have absolutely no idea what we're doing here, or what I'm doing here, or what this place is about, but I am determined to enjoy myself, and I'm very intrigued, and oh my, this soup's delicious, isn't it?
Thank you. I was a victim too. At least my wife was. She had friends who were socialists. Well, we all make mistakes. But Mr. Boddy threatened to give my wife's name to the House Un-American Activities Committee unless she named them. She refused, and so he blackmailed her. We had no money, and the price of his silence was that we worked for him for nothing. We were slaves. Well, to make a long story short,
late.
The suicide of my wife preyed on my mind and created a sense of injustice in me. I resolved to put Mr. Boddy behind bars. It seemed to me the best way to do it, and to free all of you from the same burden of blackmail, was to get everyone face to face, confront Mr. Boddy with his crimes, and then turn him over to the police.
So, everything is explained.
We still don't know who killed him.
But the point is, we've got to find out in the next 39 minutes before the police arrive.
My God, we can't have them come here now.
But how can we possibly find out which of you did it?
What do you mean, which of you did it?
Well, I didn't do it.
Well, one of us did. We all had the opportunity. We all had a motive.
Great. We'll all go to the chair.
Maybe it wasn't one of us.
Well, who else could it have been?
Who else is in the house?
Only the cook.
The cook!
Thank you.
Excuse me, I have to, is there a little girl's room in the hall?
Oui, oui, madame.
No, I just want to powder my nose, thank you.
Wadsworth?
I'm afraid those are the negatives to which Colonel Mustard earlier referred.
Oh, my God.
Were you planning to blackmail him, Wadsworth?
Certainly not. I'd obtained them for the Colonel, and I was going to give them back as soon as Mr. Body was unmasked.
Very pretty. Would you like to see these, Yvette? They might shock you.
No, merci. I am a lady.
Oh, how do you know what kind of pictures they are if you're such a lady?
What sort of pictures are they?
They are my pictures, and I'd like them back, please.
No, I'm afraid there's something in them that concerns me, too.
Let me see.
Oh, no. Nobody can get into that position.
Sure they can. Let me show you.
Get off me!
Thank you.
No, he's dead.
Mr. Body. Dead? Again?
Oh, my God.
She's going to faint.
Sonny cancer!
I'll catch you. Pour into my arms. Sorry.
You've got blood on your hands.
I didn't do it! Dead now. Why would anyone want to kill him twice?
It seems so unnecessary.
Well, that's what we call overkill.
What we call psychotic.
Unless he wasn't dead before.
What's the difference?
That's what we're trying to find out. We're trying to find out who killed him and where and with what.
There's no need to shout.
I'm not shouting. All right, I am. I'm shouting. Thinking there is nobody else in this house?
No.
Then there is someone else in this house.
No, sorry. I said no meaning yes.
No meaning yes? Look, I want a straight answer. Is there someone else or isn't there? Yes or no?
No.
No, there is or no, there isn't?
Yes.
Please!
Well, there is still some confusion as to whether or not there's anybody else in this house.
I told you there isn't.
There isn't any confusion or there isn't anybody else?
Either or both.
Just give me a clear answer.
Certainly. What was the question?
Is there anybody else in the house?
No!
No!
professor of psychiatry, specializing in helping paranoid and homicidal lunatics suffering from delusions of grandeur.
Yes, but now I work for the United Nations.
So your work has not changed.
Is that his final word on the matter?
Being killed is pretty final, wouldn't you say?
And yet he was the one who died, not you, Mrs. White, not you.
What did he do for a living?
He was a scientist. Nuclear physics.
What was he like?
He was always a rather stupidly optimistic man. I mean, I'm afraid it came as a great shock to him when he died, but he was found dead at home. His head had been cut off, and so had his, you know. I had been out all evening at the movies.
Do you miss him?
Well, it's a matter of life after death. Now that he's dead, I have a life.
But he was your second husband. Your first husband also disappeared.
But that was his job. He was an illusionist.
But he never reappeared.
He wasn't a very good illusionist.
I'm just gonna have to break it down!
Please!
Go! Go! Go!
You know Colonel Mustard works in Washington. Is he one of your clients?
Certainly not.
I was asking Miss Scarlet.
Well, you tell him it's not true.
It's not true.
Is that true?
No, it's not true.
Ha ha! So it is true.
A double negative.
Double negative? You mean you have photographs?
That sounds like a confession to me. In fact, the double negative has led to proof positive. I'm afraid you gave yourself away.
Are you trying to make me look stupid in front of the other guests?
You don't need any help from me, sir.
That's right. There is only one admitted killer here, and it is certainly not me. It is her.
I've admitted nothing.
Well, you paid the blackmail. How many husbands have you had?
Mine or other women's?
Yours.
Five.
Five?
Yes, just the five. Husbands should be like Kleenex. Soft, strong, and disposable.
You lure men to their deaths like a spider with flies.
Flies are where men are most vulnerable.
Right.
You were jealous that your husband was stripping her that. That's why you killed him, too.
Yes. Yes, I did it. I killed Yvette. I hated her so much. It flames on the side of my face, breathing, breath, heaving breaths.
You murdered them all. You were the person who was missing when the cook and Mr. Body were murdered. And the cook used to be your cook. Don't you remember your fatal mistake? You told us at dinner that we were eating one of your favorite recipes. And monkey's brains, though popular in Cantonese cuisine, are not often to be found in Washington, D.C.
Is that what we ate?
Why would I have murdered all the others?
Obviously, in case Mr. Body had told him about you.
So it was all nothing to do with the disappearing nuclear physicist and Colonel Mustard's work on the new fusion bomb.
No, communism was just a red herring. Mrs. Peacock did it all. Is missing. Gentlemen, turn out your pockets. Ladies, empty your purses. Whoever has the gun is the murderer.
Very well. What do you propose to do about it?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing at all. I don't approve of murder, but it seems to me you've done the world a public service by ridding it of an appalling blackmailer and his disgusting informers.
But the police will be here any minute. What happens then?
Why should the police come? Nobody's called them.
You mean?
That's right. Now, I suggest that we stack the bodies in the cellar, lock it, leave quietly one at a time, and pretend that none of this has ever happened.
Great idea. I'll leave first, if you don't mind.
Authorities find out what happened. The FBI will take care of that.
You mean
my phone call for Mr. Hoover? I work for him, of course. How else could I have known anything about you all?
There's still one thing I don't understand.
One thing?
Who was Mrs. Peacock taking bribes from?
A foreign power. Her husband, the senator, has influence over defense contracts.
Is there going to be a cover-up?
Isn't that in the public interest? What could be gained by exposure?
But is the FBI in the habit of cleaning up after multiple murder?
Yes. Why do you think it's run by a man called Hoover?
Your moment has come.
Not so fast, Miss Scarlet. I do have a secret or two.
Oh, yeah, such as?
The game's up, Scarlet. There are no more bullets left in that gun.
Oh, come on, you don't think I'm going to fall for that old trick.
It's not a trick. There was one shot at Mr. Body in the study, two for the chandelier, two at the lounge door, and one for the singing telegram.
That's not six.
One plus two plus two plus one.
Uh-uh. There was only one shot that got the chandelier. That's one plus two plus one plus one.
Even if you were right, that would be one plus one plus two plus one, not one plus two plus one plus one.
Okay, fine. One plus two plus one. Shut up! Point is, there's one bullet left in this gun, and guess who's gonna get it?
Thank you. You've been listening to High Waisted Modernists with me, DJ Gigi, the blue-haired hippie. Check out the archives at wfmu.org/playlists/HW.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
From Sheena's Jungle Room, a service of Freeform, listener-supported WFMU, you're where the action is. I'm Jeffrey Holasgo. Good afternoon.
And if she should tell you, come closer. And if she tells you, with a charm.
Love herself.
remember she said that to me.
Take back.